Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
And welcome, everybody, as we begin a really interesting day in the stock market. In addition to, well, a lot that happened from the time that we got off the air on Friday, including the Republicans coming back into Oregon and showing up on the Senate floor on Sunday afternoon. It was a great photo op. Well, not all of them came back. There was only 9 out of 11, or 12, rather. But most did. And it was all, as you know, but it was primarily about, you know, the cap and tax bill, the carbon energy sales tax. But more importantly, friends, what if the whole issue of cap and tax is really about China hurting America in the future, our national security? The bottom of this hour, we're going to talk to State Senator Brian Boquist, no stranger to this show, former Green Beret. Had a long, long career in the Green Berets, special operator, retired as a lieutenant colonel. He wrote an incredibly interesting piece a couple of days ago about how that the cap and tax bill is a true national security threat to not just Oregon, to our country. And he's going to lay out his case, and there's some striking things about this that we need to talk about. But before we do, I want to say, if you're looking at the Dow futures right now, it's down 1,255 points. Now, that's been stuck at 1,255 all morning since I've been up at about 3:30. The reason it's stuck is because the market has a circuit breaker. Once you get 5% down, boom, it doesn't allow prices to go any further. Now, you could do that on successive days, but all of this is because there is a, there's a price war going on between Russia and Saudi Arabia. Over the weekend, the Saudis and the Russians failed to reach an agreement. Actually, OPEC, really, to reach an agreement. Russia's not going to cut production. Saudi said, okay, fine. We're going to ramp up production and drop prices. Now, that hurt their own company, Aramco. You know, the Saudi Arabian oil ministry in Saudi Arabia itself, all of that was owned by the kingdom. Now they went public, Aramco. Well, they just hurt their own company by 10% at least. Now the Saudis, I've been listening to the talking heads all morning, oil traders and other people, talk about this. This is naive. This is the Crown Prince bin Salman, who had some fellow family members arrested over the weekend, by the way. It's all in a bid to consolidate his power. It might have had something to do with this war. At any rate, he's naive, is what they're saying. Is he? Think about who this really hurts. And I'm going to tie this back into Brian Boquist's piece that we're going to talk about with him at the bottom of the hour. Who does it really hurt? You see, our ability as America to produce the things we need to produce to be safe militarily is every bit put in jeopardy by not being able to produce enough fuel for ourselves. Now, right now we are, and there's a reason why. But it's the same as what will happen if cap and trade goes into place in Oregon? Because it's happening in California. And it's not the incredibly stupid increase in energy all for no reason. It's not it at all. The incredibly dumb loss of blue-collar jobs, which will happen. It is the fact that you will not allow American companies over time who produce steel, who produce other things that we do in Oregon that are raw material and frankly that are they're just critical to the ability of Oregon companies to remain competitive. China can drive us out of business, can drive America's steel production out of business. Donald Trump knows this, folks. If America is going to be secure, we have to have the ability to produce things that we use in the military-industrial complex, like titanium, like other exotic metals, intelligence tells us something is going on here. The reason the Saudis have done what they've done is not really Russia, folks. It's to drive America's fracking industry out of business. That's what it is. Right now, oil has collapsed. The oil price today by it's down to, what, $32 a barrel right now. That's West Texas crude. That's a lot. It's collapsed. Now, frackers are typically highly leveraged. A lot of them are smaller companies. So in other words, they've got a lot of money borrowed. They have to pay it back. At $31, $32 a barrel, folks, there ain't any profit. In fact, you're operating at a loss. You know, fracking has gotten more efficient over time, but, I mean, it's still, you got to get somewhere in that low $40 to mid-$40 range, depending on who you are as a fracker and how much debt you have, for you to be able to service your debt just to stay even, to not go broke, to not produce oil and sell it at a loss. Now, these frackers are typically not publicly traded company, folks. These are people who cannot absorb the loss. They're private companies. Right now, the price of oil is down 37% today. Now, you're probably not going to see the price at the pump drop that much, but my point to you is this. Saudi Arabia is doing this to drive American fracking out of business because American fracking has created this incredible amount of, has made America self-reliant on our own energy, in terms of oil anyway. We're exporting gasoline. We're exporting some crude oil. We are. We have turned the oil business internationally on its head. Now, you add that into the coronavirus issue. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment because Governor Kate declares an emergency for 60 days, which is probably not a bad thing to do, to be quite honest with you. But ultimately, friends, what we're going to talk with Brian Boquist is about is how Senate Bill 1530 and its companion bill in the House, which are both dead now, you know, at midnight last night, all of those bills just died and they can't be brought back. Today, there will be expanded. There will be an emergency board meeting. This is a board we've always had because it's how we dealt with, you know, for many years. It's how we dealt with spending that there was always a pot of money set aside for emergencies, and the money's there and all the legislature has to do is allocate it. Okay. So they're going to meet today. Kate declares an emergency. They're going to give some additional money to various state agencies to deal with this business of the coronavirus. We've got more cases in Oregon. It's going to continue to grow. I'm quite convinced of that. So we got a 60-day emergency. Now, one of the things they are going to do, though, and this just goes right into it, is they are going to ask for some additional money. For what? Well, for the DEQ. To do what? Like $5 million. To expand by rulemaking authority cap and trade. Now, really, they can't do cap and trade. And they have to be really careful what they do here, because there is actually very little they can do. But they can do some things. They can, by executive order, she can order the DEQ by rule to tighten up within at least certain parameters what can be emitted. Now, that only hurts Oregon companies, and it's dumb. But, you see, Kate is not going to take this lying down. You know why? Because, once again, she's been embarrassed. Why? Because the Republicans, House and Senate, left this time. And they shut everything down. Now, there was, over the weekend, a full-page ad by Timber Unity in the Oregonian. Now, do you have any idea how expensive that is? It's a lot. And in it, by the way, you can see this if you go to OregonCatalyst.com. It is also, I mean, it's all over Twitter. But it says, thank you for walking out to protect working Oregonians. That is the thing that Republicans need to say over and over and over and over again. It's messaging. We won the battle. Will we win the war? The war for the hearts and minds of the swing voter in Oregon. And that's where the future of this state really is in play, is with swing voters. They say in the ad, Republican lawmakers had a difficult choice to make. Walk out or sit back and allow costly cap and trade taxes to pass. They decided it's not about their job, Tim Canope. It's about saving yours. You cannot miss this. And then they elicit the negatives. Raise your gas prices by 22 cents a gallon immediately without a penny going for the roads. Drive up prices on groceries and everyday necessities. Increase your home utility bills by double digits. Harm fixed income seniors who struggle to make ends meet now. Shield special interest from public records requests. We're going to talk, by the way, with Brian Boquist about how likely there are Democrat donors who will profit big time from the Chinese secretly buying, and there's indication of this, secretly buying these credits. Rob you of your right to vote on a massive tax. Republicans have to win the war by winning
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Diamond Worth. Email.
No sense.
All right, friends, we're sorry about the technical glitch there. We will manage those a little bit better. It's 26 minutes past the top of the hour. This segment of the show is brought to you by our friends at Diamond Royalty Rides. Make somebody feel really special. And you know how you can do that? Buy them a limousine ride. Go to their website, diamondroyaltyrides.com. Diamondroyaltyrides.com. So I did get... an email, by the way, emails to Jeff at 1220.am from the state employee who shall never be named. He says, these are amazing accusations by Boquist. Well, maybe not. Maybe they're not so amazing. And we're going to talk with Brian Boquist about that here in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. But friend, another great email was from Roger, who said this: you are completely correct again regarding the message that needs to be sent out regarding the walkout. The apology that went out, the same as it did last year, was entirely incorrect. Apologizing for doing the right thing just invites people to think that the walkout was not the right thing to do. Yes. Now, why on earth Herman Bertsinger would be quoted in saying the things that he did, that the walkout was an abuse? Where he worries that the walkouts would be an abuse. You don't say that. Why would you ever think that a winning political strategy, not just politically winning, folks, but winning for your constituents, winning for national security, as we're going to talk about with Brian Boquist, Why would you ever think that's something you would need to apologize for as an abuse?
Oh, that's why I'm so frustrated at times.
You have to. You know what? The Republicans just in Oregon have no ability, it seems, to learn from Trump. You know what Trump would have done? He would have doubled down. And that's what Herman should have said. He should have said, heck yeah, we'll walk out again to protect blue-collar jobs and stop the Democrats from raising family cost of living so high that a family can't live here and they got to go move to Idaho. And all for what? For no, zero reduction in CO2 worldwide. But it's deeper than that. Now, that's the message that needs to go out. And the Timber Unity full-page ad they put over the weekend in the Oregonian, is it really lays out the issues. Republicans have to be on message. They have to say the same thing over and over and over again. And it has to be emotional. You have to tug on the heartstrings of the average person out there. You want to stop this nonsense so you don't have to keep walking out? You'll win some elections. And you don't do that by apologizing for a successful strategy, especially one that not only saves your jobs, but protects national security. You think I'm right? Brian Bolquist comes up at the bottom of the hour.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes at the top of the hour. Get ready to buy some stock, folks. Stock market's off 1,884 points. Trading's been halted. That's what happens. They've got the circuit breaker in. And this is all due to the fact that we've got the Saudis and the Russians not agreeing to cut production. So the Saudis say, okay, fine, we're going to drop oil prices with Aramco and we're going to increase production. Now, who that hurts? It hurts our fracking industry. Oil prices are way down now, and that's not a good thing for national security. Neither is it a good thing for national security for us to implement state laws that ultimately hurt our national security. And that's the thesis of my next guest, State Senator, and my friend Brian Bolquist. Senator, welcome.
Hey, how are you this morning, Jeff?
I'm pretty good. Hey, welcome back to Oregon.
Well, actually, don't presume too many things. I actually, contrary to public belief, worked for my minimum wage every day in my district.
I know you do. And, yeah, well, it was, thanks, by the way, for walking out and for standing firm. You wrote a powerful piece that went out in your newsletter. And the thesis of your piece is that Oregon's cap and trade bill in and of itself is a national security threat. Why? Why did you write that?
It's actually fairly simple. After the review of the cap and trade piece in California and what has happened to industry there, and in connection to the fact that we have now recognized that there is a growing Asia threat called China, this has been going on for years, we have in Oregon several key industries, the technology industry, cement industry, and steel industry, which is crucial to the national defense infrastructure. And furthermore, I've been thinking about not running for the state senate and taking time off and writing a book and been doing research on the Chinese military threat over the last 3 to 4 years. What cap and trade basically does, and because there's not safeguards in it, it would allow market manipulation like George Soros has done in the past, or even what beer companies have done, where they simply buy somebody out in one mechanism or the other or close them down. What would easily happen under cap and trade is the ability to purchase those credits for those industries that are heavy carbon, which is heavy industry, like I mentioned, and then simply either keep the credits. That's one option, and there is none, so the companies can't get them themselves and go out of business. The second option is, of course, manipulation like Soros has done, and that is where they sell them towards the end at a higher price, and then, of course, in the cap and trade, the highest price that's out there is what somebody else has to buy credits for. It further has in it, buried in it, a cost differential in which it says, oh, if it costs 25% more for a product, oh, well, we'll pay for it. And, of course, there is no market capacity anywhere for that. So what we're effectively doing would be transferring these industries to the next producer, and guess who the next producer is, Jeff? China. So there we go.
Yeah. All right, so part of the problem here, and that you and others have put forward, is that a lot of these transactions are going to be kept secret. Why would that be?
Well, the surface explanation is oh, this is trade information, and it shouldn't be allowed to be discussed or between various companies because it would be a sort of an antitrust thing. However, that in itself is antitrust. Their goal primarily is to keep it in secret and to have bureaucrats that operate this whole program in secret, and then they're not accountable for what the money is. Now, Oregon has an S in transparency from you journalists, despite our claims of all this sort of transparency in public records. And, of course, you know, I've been in court and still in court trying to get public records in the legislature. So their basic idea to the public is oh, it's to keep things safe and you'll be safe. Trust us, you know. Sort of like trust Joe, Big Joe, you know, Big Joe Stalin, and trust Benigni, you know, Mussolini, and trust all these other people, trust Mao. It's basically so that they can do what they want and hide it from the public. That is not even democratic, even though you and I both know we live in a republic. Certainly not republic.
Yeah, it isn't. So the danger is that some kind of backroom deal could be made, and maybe already has been made, with the Chinese, who for some strange reason seem to be landing all of these internet submarine cables on the Oregon coast, two of them already and a third one being planned. Is there a tie in here? Could there really be a backroom deal between Kate and her big Democrat donors to cut deals with the Chinese on cap and trade and a whole bunch of things?
Well, excuse me. And no, I don't have the virus.
Thank you.
We don't know whether there's a backroom deal with Kate. We do know that Kate established a trade agreement that's questionable under the Constitution right now. But what we do know is that Tom Steyer, who is a major donor and a big promoter of this program who ran for president, made his money in Chinese coal and is deep into the Chinese market right now in terms of green construction. The second person we know that's out there that's big into supporting this is little Mike, who, of course, just backed out of the presidential race, Mike Bloomberg, and he is deep into the Chinese market, too. And we know that Kate is all over every picture of every People's Republic of China event that's in Portland. Now, that being said, we also know that Kate wrote a letter of support for the third cable landing site that's in Terra del Mar that, of course, the locals oppose. And just for your readers or your listeners so they know, what a cable landing site is it's a big, huge, high-speed internet cable that allows secure communications, and the cables run from China itself to the Oregon coast. And I was actually sort of mistaken in the article. There's the majority of that now really is in Oregon. I thought there were actually larger cables in Southern California, two locations in Los Angeles, and of course that's been dispelled. The two cables between market manipulation have changed, and there's smaller cables down there. So the internet hacking that happens now that the American government tells the public about that originates in China is coming right through the Oregon beach.
That's fascinating. And again, part of this is being facilitated, not the cable part of it or the agreement and the trade agreement that Kate signed, but rather the potential for the Chinese to manipulate in secret our cap and trade trading system is because the bill itself keeps all of that from being discovered. It's private information.
That's absolutely correct. And of course, it's private information and it's private from the public. And of course, let's just say, let's be good, because as you know, we have a lot of, you know, good, hardworking public servants out there, public employees. Even if they discover something, they have to go through everything from rulemaking changes to going to the court system to going to the World Trade Organization, because it's an international corporation run by the communist Chinese government. So it's years before they could take any corrective action. Years.
And in the meantime, of course, our industries are devastated.
Our industries are devastated, including technology. The fact that the landing sites are here, the Department of Homeland Security has put a hold on one of the landing sites right now, because they're, of course, looking at this the same way, that there's a problem.
I hadn't heard that. That's interesting. But it shouldn't surprise us. I mean, the Chinese are not... Well, one of the things you note is their capacity. I mean, they have this massive blue water fleet. Their capacity to build ships far exceeds our own. They have a fleet far bigger than they need to invade Taiwan. Why would they need a fleet that big?
Well, there's not, from an Asian perspective, and this goes back to World War One, and actually the late 1800s, and the first the China-Japanese War, which was a war in terms of resources, then moving to the seizure of Port Arthur in the Japanese-Russo War, and then moving on to World War II, which was a war of resources. We talk about all these things and democracy and world freedom and dictatorships, but the fact of the matter is the Japanese needed natural resources. The Chinese are in the same predicament right now with the largest population in the world, and they need some critical resources like oil. You talked about it in your opening, fracking, iron ore, various metals, and interestingly enough, farmland for canola or oil production. And so the question is if you're looking for this, what they have now is called the China Belt Initiative, and they're out exploring and doing work and heavy development in Africa, but somebody place they have to go find these resources, and then they have to protect the trade routes to the resources, or either they have to take the resources. Now, you and I both know it's the famous quote from Madeleine Albright when she told Colin Powell, you know, why do we have this military and we never use it? The question one has to ask is, why do you spend hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars for the largest amphibious fleet since World War II and not use it? What is the Chinese plan?
Well, the richest place on the earth they can get everything they need is America. And it is not beyond communist thinking to think about invading this country. All right, so we're almost at the end of our time. How do you think this plays out with Kate saying she's going to do an executive order? You got 15 seconds.
I think Kate will try and implement some portions of green programs, but she's not going to be able to implement a cap and trade program. She doesn't have the legislative authority, doesn't have the statutory authority. So I think we're going to see them chipping away at the edges and trying to have a special session.
Thanks, Brian Boquist. Appreciate your great work and your service. Call
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. The Dow is down 2,028 as trading resumes. Down almost 8% will be shortly. This is a time to buy, folks. You know, when there's blood in the streets, that's time to buy. It's an overreaction to all of this stuff. Now, not to minimize coronavirus at all, because my personal opinion is I agree with Lars. In fact, Lars and I spent some time talking last night about this, just kind of offline. I think you're about to see an explosion of coronavirus cases in America and right here in Oregon. Now, again, don't overreact to that, but just be aware of it. I think we're probably going to close some schools for a time. I think, and I asked Lars this question last night. I said, okay, so this is a lung flu. It attacks the lung. And it ultimately kills you when you have a depressed immune system with pneumonia. It's what it does. It attacks the insides of your lungs. So, okay. Then let's do this. Lars's idea was schools are petri dishes for for every kind of virus known to humankind, right? So why don't we do this? Why don't we just extend spring break for about 3 weeks and just not have kids going to school? Now, I know that creates some issues, but a lot of people are canceling their spring break vacations anyway. That's maybe not a bad idea. But what about NBA basketball games? Apparently, the NBA today is going to do something about that. I mean, you know, in a closed situation, you know, flying on airplanes. And one of the reasons that oil prices are diving is because, you know, people are traveling less right now. So go have a staycation. Maybe we should knock schools down for a time, you think? It's an interesting idea. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. I wonder, let's see here. No, that's not it. Okay. I just saw a tweet from my friend Mark Anderson of iSpy Radio. Said, rather than spreading the panic, I wish Varney and company would spend time talking about some potential bargains and stocks to watch to pick up. There will be a lot of buying opportunities. Well, actually, Mark, they've just started doing it. And I think they're right. I think there's huge buying opportunities at these levels. And there is. I mean, the market's gone down a lot. The fundamentals of our economy are strong, folks. It's just been, everything has been whacked a little bit by coronavirus. Now, what happens from here? I mean, you know, it's going to get worse in America. In fact, the U.S. Surgeon General was on this morning saying that. And I think we all have to recognize it. So what do we do well, be really careful with what you do. Maybe you spend a little bit less time around people. People are hacking or coughing. Give them a wide berth. Yes, do wash your hands a lot. But the person who should be wearing a mask and a good mask is the person who has the cough, not you. At any rate, friends, that's my take on it all. I want to remind you that if you're looking for a great contractor, talk to RighteousRenovations.com. Eric Azer has a great website, RighteousRenovations.com, with a lot of, well, satisfied customers, testimonials. It'd be good if you would chat with them. RighteousRenovations.com. Let's go to the phones. Caller, good morning. Who are you and what do you have to say today?
Hey, you talking to me, Jeff?
I am.
Okay. Well, so far they're not closing down any schools. I know my grandson who lives up in Hillsboro They had a kid at his middle school who did contract the virus, was at school, and they're opening up today. They cleaned it supposedly yesterday, but they're opening up today when that kid was at school, you know, passing the virus on. I don't know to how many, but he definitely had it when he was at school.
Well, so what do you think the answer is? I mean, if this thing starts to get worse before it gets better, I mean, how do we deal with that with schools and other things like football games and basketball games and, you know, NCAA tournaments and, you know, the Portland Timbers soccer games?
Well, obviously, this virus is more detrimental to the elderly and people who have compromised immune systems right now. And so, you know, there's no easy answer, Jeff. There just isn't. We're going to have more cases. And if the individuals who do contract it, you know, go into, you know, lockdown until the threat of them being contagious is gone, it's just going to continue to spread.
Well, I think that that's what we're going to have to do. And one of the interesting things that Lars shared with me last night was what the Taiwanese have done. You know, they're only 90 miles from China, and they have, like, direct flights from Wuhan into Taipei, Taiwan. You know what they've done? They've done a lot of that. They literally have just shut down the movement of personnel, and they put people in quarantines, big quarantines. In fact, they've done a number of other things that some, which probably would be unconstitutional for us in terms of our liberties, but they have very few cases. At some point in Oregon, we may be faced with this idea that we're going to have to say, you know what, close the schools, no basketball games, or at least no basketball games where people are going to show up. I know that doesn't sit well with people, but we're going to have to do something. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Art, thanks.
Well,
good to have you.
Yeah,
hear
have
from
a good
you
day.
Today on a Monday. All right, friends. Look, we're almost at the end of the show. I want to thank Brian Boquist for being with us. Freedom Heating and Air, by the way, is a great local company. Been in Salem 40 years. Survived a lot, and they've done that because they're really good at what they do. Why don't you check them out? The heat pump and the furnace is not working right. Visit the folks at freedomheatingandair.net. Give them a call. They have a great emergency service. They can come out and help you get you running again. freedomheatingandair.net. We'll be back tomorrow, friends. You know, we're going to continue on this because coronavirus is not going away. Neither is what Kate Brown is going to do today at nibbling around the edges of the so-called Green New Deal, which is no new deal at all. It's the destruction of the American economy and maybe our own national security, like Brian Boquist points out. We'll be back to talk about it all tomorrow, and I hope you'll join us too as we get started. Get out there, make it a great day, because you know what? It's really up to you, nobody else. See you then.